The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 29, text number 45, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 18th, 2007, in Christchurch, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 29, text number 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shamda Brahmani Dushpare Charanta Uru Vistare Mantalingarvya Vachchinnam Bhajanto Navyaduparam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Despite the cultivation of Vedic knowledge, which is unlimited, and the worship of different demigods by the symptoms of Vedic mantras, demigod worship does not help one to understand the supreme, powerful personality of Godhead. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, kamaistaistaya hrita jnana prapajyantenya devata tang tang niyamamashtaya pakritya niyatasvaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Most people are interested in worshipping demigods to acquire powers. Each demigod has a particular power. For instance, the demigod Indra, the king of heaven, has the power to shower rain on the surface of the globe to give sufficient vegetation to the earth. This demigod is described in the Vedas, Vajrahasta Purandaraha. Indra rules the water supply with a thunderbolt in his hand. The thunderbolt itself is controlled by Indra. Similarly, other demigods, Agni, Varuna, Chandra, Surya, have particular powers. All these demigods are worshipped in the Vedic hymns through a symbolic weapon. Therefore, it is said here, Mantralingaya Yavachchanam. By such worship, karmis may obtain the benediction of material opulence in the form of animals, riches, beautiful wives, many followers, and so on. By such material opulence, however, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, this beautiful Bhagavatam is mercifully delivering us from our suffering condition in this material existence. In the present time, we are rotting in the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. Sometimes it appears very pleasant to be in this material world. And sometimes the obvious, harsh reality stares us right in the face. If we carefully hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we carefully understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, and if we carefully apply the Srimad Bhagavatam, then by the mercy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we become transcendentally situated beyond the happiness and distress of this material existence. There is no greater blessing than the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many descriptions in the Vedic wisdom for gradual elevation. Just like the reference today to the demigod worship. This is for less intelligent people, as Krishna clearly explained. Why would someone want to advance themselves materially when all you're really doing is staying within the prison? Within the prison, certain prisoners who have been well-behaved, who've shown proper respect to the warden and to the various administrators within the prison. They are given some special privileges within the prison. They get a cell with their mattress is a little thicker than the other cells. Maybe they have a TV set, you know. But they're still in prison. I had personal experience one time. I was locked up. I committed a heinous crime. I was distributing Back to Godhead magazine. So the police came, they put me in the squad car, and they put me behind bars. They caught me red-handed in the act of distributing Back to Godhead. Locked me up. So I noticed within the jail, the county jail, there was different sorts of prisoners. There was ones like me who were on the low end of the totem pole. We were just sitting in our cells. We couldn't go anywhere. But there was others who had special privileges. They were called trustees. They could wander up and down freely. They didn't have to stay in their cell. They could wander up and down and go from cell to cell and chat with the different prisoners who were in their cells. You see? So what is the good of being one of these so-called trustees? Because you're still in jail. What's the big deal if you can walk up and down the cell block and chat with the different people within their cells? Is it that great of an accomplishment? No. The real thing is get out of that jail. Then you have accomplished something. You see. So by flattering the jail supervisor, you may get some special privileges. But what good is it? So what good is it to worship these demigods when all you're going to do is remain in the jail? Is that intelligence? No, Krishna says, their minds have been stolen, their intelligence, hritta jnana, their jnana has been hritta. It's stolen intelligence. Those who flatter the higher-ups within the prison to get better privileges within the prison. It's really stupid because as Krishna points out elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, ananyaschintayantamang yejana paryapasate tesham nichabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyam. He points out very clearly that for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry whatever they lack, even material things. You see, a devotee who is completely, totally dedicated to Krishna, he has no one else but Krishna that he's devoted to. You see, exclusive devotion. Krishna is a jealous lover. He wants it all. He doesn't want to share it with anyone else. If we give all of our love to Krishna exclusively, Krishna and only Krishna, all of my devotion goes to him, then Krishna, he will become our personal servant. And whatever we are needing, he will personally provide it to us. That person who owns everything within the entire existence, who controls everything throughout the entire existence, he'll be our personal supplier and protector. That's a more opulent position than even being a so-called wealthy man of this world. Why bother flattering the demigods? Just become totally sold out to Krishna, and then whatever you need, Krishna will give it to you. Whatever you need. We simply have to become qualified to engage everything in Krishna's service, and then Krishna will give us the whole world to engage in his service. What did Prabhupada tell Tamal Krishna Goswami when he was Brahmachari? He said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute, but what you will do with it? We simply have to become qualified by exclusive devotion. So I may say, but what about my husband and my kids and my family and my neighbors? I can't love them too. I'm supposed to give all my love to Krishna. Well, just as when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches get complete, total nourishment. Actually, we can only love our husband purely. We can only love our wife purely, our family members, our friends, our community, our nation. We can only love them perfectly when we channel our love through Krishna's lotus feet. When you give your love to Krishna, now because Krishna is the root of the entire creation, everything that exists is simply an expansion of Krishna's energy. When you give all of your, when you channel all of your love to Krishna, then automatically that pure love goes to everyone and everything throughout the totality of existence. You achieve the true platform of universal love when you give your love completely to Krishna. You become the best, the most loving, affectionate wife, the most loving, affectionate husband, the most loving, affectionate father, the most loving, affectionate son, daughter, or mother, the most loving, affectionate citizen, acting for the greatest benefit of your country. You become perfect in every way when you give your love completely to Krishna. There's nothing left out. Nothing left out. Therefore, any position besides becoming Krishna conscious, it just doesn't make sense. It's based on an illusory conception, I am the body. If I'm thinking I'm the body, then what will I do? Then I will engage in serving the body. Because my happiness will be the happiness of my body. But since I am not the body, will I ever taste real happiness by doing that? No, I will not. I will never become happy by serving the body. If you are sitting and your reflection is also here in one mirror and you feed the foodstuff to the reflection, will you be nourished? No, you will not be nourished. If you want the actual nourishment, put the food in the mouth. Don't put it in the reflection of the mouth. So this body is like a reflection of the actual self. It is not the self. Simply reflection. The image of the self is reflected within the on the screen of the known as Mahatattva. That's a, it's a reflection of the actual self. If one doesn't know the actual self, one will take the reflection to be the self. But by hearing from the bona fide spiritual master, from hearing from the Vaishnavas, by hearing from the revealed scriptures, then we can understand what is the actual self. And then we can invest our energy in that place, which is truly truly worthy of investment. The spiritual conception of the self. See, that's where we should put our energy as much as possible. Of course, that doesn't mean we neglect the body. Are you your car? No, you're not your car. But still, you put gasoline in it, don't you? Don't you put oil and make sure the tires have air? These things we do. You don't have to be the car to take care of it properly. No. So I don't have to think on my body in order to properly take care of the body. Actually, if I realize the actual fact regarding this body, that it's the property of Krishna and it's meant to be engaged in his service, I will take even better care of the body than someone who thinks that their body is them, is themselves. So the devotee doesn't mean I neglect my body because I know that I'm not my body. To hell with it. No. It means this is a very nice instrument. Let me utilize this in the service of Krishna. That's what it means. So one does not become the loser in any way, materially or spiritually, by engaging everything in Krishna's service. By engaging everything in Krishna's service, you reconnect with your actual eternal identity. And that's where you find complete, total satisfaction. To be Krishna conscious is the most wonderful thing because it brings you back to your actual identity. Even you can be on the verge of death and be ecstatic because you know this isn't me. I'm just dropping off, getting ready to drop off an old, worn out booster rocket as I go further into, as I travel into the spiritual sky, I'm going to drop off this booster rocket which I use to get myself out of the Earth's atmosphere. That's a as Srila Prabhupada explained one time to us in Los Angeles, he said, deathlessness begins at initiation. When I take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, you see, I get initiated, I commit myself to following his instructions. It's my life and soul. And I remain firm and fixed in executing that vow, then my deathlessness began from that very moment of my initiation ceremony. At that point, one solidly affirms that I'm not this body. I'm an eternal spiritual being. I'm the servant of Krishna. And now everything that I'm going to do In all times, all places, and all circumstances, with every thought, word, and deed, will be to reinforce and to strengthen my Krishna consciousness more and more and more and more and more. The general society cannot grasp this. They are caught up in the illusory conception of the self. They think that somehow or other, in this body, I can go on enjoying forever. Even though around them, so many people are dying, still they're thinking, I will somehow live. This was a question that was asked by Yamaraj of Maharaj Yudhishthira. What is the most wonderful thing in this world? Maharaj Yudhishthira very intelligently answered, Ahani ahani bhutani ganchantiya yamalayam shesha stavram ichchami kim mashayam atahapparam. At every moment, countless numbers of living beings are being dragged to the court of Yamaraj, the god of death. But those who are remaining here, they're thinking, not me. I will live forever. I mean, around us, everyone's dying. My brother's dying, my mother, my father, my sister, my dog, my next door neighbor, my soccer star. Everyone's dying. But I'm thinking, not me. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, Kim maschaya mataha param. What could be more amazing than this? It's dumbfounding that everyone could be dropping like flies all around me, but I'm thinking, oh, not me. Even in our ISKCON, we see so many devotees. Now, as we're getting older, so many devotees are leaving their bodies, but I'm thinking, I'll live a long time. I may not live past. Actually, one devotee died while he was giving a lecture one time. I may not make it till the end of the lecture. I may not even make it all the way up to Guru Puja. You know, you never know. It'd be a great way to go. You know, right here in the temple room, giving a class. Be a fantastic way to go. But we really have to live every day as if it was going to be my last day, because one day it will be. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, next year. But the fact is, each and every one of us is going to check out of the hotel. We're all going to check out. We have to be ready for that. We have to be ready to leave the body. So how do you do that? You have to dive deeply into Krishna consciousness. Don't just skim the surface of Krishna consciousness. Dive deeply into it. When you chant Hare Krishna, enter into the name. When you see the deities, drink the deities' forms into your heart. Go deeply into Krishna consciousness. That will make you transcendental. It will bring you out of bodily consciousness. It will bring you to that platform where you really feel fearless. That's where the real nectar is. It's really, I've always liked the Sanskrit word for nectar. I mean, it's pretty cool, you could say. The way, you know, the Sanskrit word for nectar is amrit. Mrit means death, a means not. The literal translation for what we translate as nectar is deathlessness. So that's the real meaning of nectar. Something is nectarian if it is deathless. What we refer to as nectar within this world is not really nectar. You see? Real nectar is that which is deathless. That's the real nectar. There's that nice Bhagavatam verse, Hari Lalamritam Vachaho. The deathless nectar of the glorious pastimes of Hari. So we have to connect with that platform of deathlessness, the transcendental platform. At every minute we should be connecting with that platform. If we live each minute as if it could be my last minute, let me be prepared. If I were to leave the body right now, I could go in pure bhakti mood. Then we'll be properly situated. If we remember the wonderful example of Parikshit Maharaj, he is our great acharya of hearing. There are 9 different processes of bhakti. And the first process is hearing. Until you've heard, you cannot do anything else. You have to hear how to chant. You have to hear about Krishna so you can remember him. The very first principle is hearing. So that acharya of hearing is Maharaj Parikshit. And Prabhupada also said that about himself. That was his qualification. So if you want to know the insider's secret, how you can rapidly advance in Krishna consciousness and become very, very solid, the key is hearing, quality hearing. That's the key. Prabhupada, when he was householder, Abhay Charande. He was running pharmacy in Allahabad. He had met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati in Uttadanga on the rooftop of that building. And he had been convinced by meeting Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that he must spread this Krishna consciousness in the English language. And at that very moment, even though he did not have his diksha yet, it was 11 years actually, but he said from that very moment, practically he initiated me. He was always thinking, oh, I have met such nice saintly spiritual master. He was always meditating. He was keeping Guru Maharaj always within his heart, always meditating, this great saintly teacher I have met. So, because of household duties, he ended up in some distance with his earning livelihood. So he was separated for some years from the Gaudiya Math activities. But then, when they came to Allahabad to open a temple, he was so happy. They had gotten word of him, and they came to his shop and asked for his help, and he was so happy. So he became reconnected with the followers of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. So there was some Vrindavan Rajmandal Parikrama going on. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and his disciples, they were going through different areas of Rajmandal on pilgrimage. There would be lectures, darshan, very nice festival, prasad, kirtan, like that. So he thought, Abhay Charande, or Srila Prabhupada, he thought to take the opportunity to go and to hear from Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So those of you who have read his writing, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he, in very erudite way, he speaks about Krishna. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat in this way. In very big words, you have to get out one of these unabridged dictionaries to keep up with him. even those of us who have English as our native tongue, we have difficulty to read his very, very erudite writings. So he would speak in big, big words. And most of these disciples, they're village boys, simple village boys. So, in the evening time in Vrindavan, what is the popular nightlife in Braj? Darshan. Here in the Western countries, it means nightclubs, cinemas, strip joints, bars, you know. But in Vrajmandal, it's very popular to go for darshan in the evening, to go to the temples and to take the darshan. So it was the evening time, and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was giving pravachan. He was giving lecture. So there was a choice. You could go for darshan or you could hear the lecture. So practically everyone headed out for the darshan. There was only a small little handful of stalwart hearers who remained to hear Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati speak. And one of those was that pharmacist from Allahabad, Bhai Charan Dev. So he said, I would understand or I would not understand, but still I would go on hearing. And nowadays, just like in our ISKCON, to get initiated, you need a recommendation letter from the local authority, you see. These spiritual masters, they do not directly initiate, but they take on the basis of recommendation letter from the local authority. So also that system. Prabhupada followed that system when he was here, and also Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So all the local devotees from Allahabad, they were preaching. They knew all this of Bhai Charan Dev. He's really a good candidate for initiation. So they recommended him. And even though there's so many people coming around, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati knew who he was because he was one of... He said, yes, he hears very nicely. You see. Because he noted, oh, this person is staying to hear from me. The others are going, but this one is staying. So yes, I will accept him as my disciple because he hears very nicely. So Prabhupada told us, he said, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So if you want to know the secret of success of how you can advance very quickly on the pathway of self-realization, simply you have to become very, very eager to hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Katha. Become very, very eager to deeply, deeply drink the nectarian rasa of Krishna Katha within your heart. With comprehension. That's why we give the listeners the opportunity for asking questions also. We want that you should fully comprehend the subject matter. It should make perfect sense to you. We don't allow blind following around here. And that's condemned in our scriptures. You must understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That is required. You must understand. This is the topmost knowledge, Rajavidya. This is the most highly elevated knowledge existing anywhere within the universe. So use your advanced intelligence. Use your highly developed and trained brain to understand what is this, what are these sublime teachings of Lord Sri Krishna. So in this way, hear nicely, understand nicely, and then chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And we guarantee you will become immortal. You will rise beyond this temporary rotting frame called the material body. And you will enter into an ocean of unlimited bliss. where you can sport in the waves eternally in relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I can ask now if there's some questions. Yeah.
You're talking about how important it is to hear. Is oral hearing, is that more important than reading? Is reading considered hearing as well? Is writing also considered to be hearing? Writing?
Reading.
Reading, I'm sorry. Reading is also considered to be hearing.
Is
considered like hearing.
Hearing?
Yes.
And what else?
Reading.
Reading, yes. Reading is a silent form of hearing. So reading is also, if you're reading, that is also hearing. So all these books are printed. We are meant to read also. They're not just for distributing. So yes, read these books. That is also the hearing process. And after having read the books, then attend the classes also, because then in the classes, what you have read becomes even more realized. It becomes enhanced. When we take our reading, what we've gained from the reading, and we bring that to the class, then it becomes magnified many, many times. So read and attend the classes. And then you'll become very, very realized in this philosophy. Any other question? Everyone's satisfied now, completely happy. No anxieties. All the Vardhaman is long gone. There's no more confusion, no more delusion, no more diffusion. Everyone's fixed solidly now in Krishna consciousness, ready to do whatever Krishna wants. See, that is the actual measure. When someone is willing to do whatever Krishna wants, then you know they really were inspired. Back in the times of the Greeks, there were two noted speakers. One, he was Demosthenes. He was well known for his oratorical skills. So he would give speech and they would say, "Oh, Demosthenes, that's a very wonderful speech you have given." There was another speaker, his name was Pericles, he was the general. You see. When Demosthenes would speak, "Oh, it was so nice speech." When Pericles would speak, they would march, you see. That is the real powerful speaker, not the one that everyone goes, "Oh, wow, that was a great lecture." No, the one who inspires to march, he is the real powerful speaker. So I'm hoping that you are all inspired now. That yes, I must surrender to Krishna. That is, yes, I must fully surrender myself to Krishna. So no, there's no question. We can stop. I thank you very much for your so kindly hearing these transcendental messages. Grantharad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.